So I'm talking to James McBaron of the Workers Solidarity Movement. He's a member of the Cork branch. You're a former Sinn Féin member. Can you tell us how you got involved in the Republican movement?
Well, I joined Sinn Féin in 1984, and at that time in Cork, certainly the perception of people like me was that where struggle existed was within the Republican movement, that they seemed to be the premier movement of struggle in the country. And if you're involved in radical politics in Cork, that was the big attraction. I was 16 years of age. Sinn Féin seemed to be involved in a lot of social campaigns and the national question. And the specific event that spurred me to join Sinn Féin, or the time that I joined, was after reading Gerry Adams Ardrich's speech. He'd just been made party president the previous year, and this was his first address where he talked about socialism and separatism and feminism and internationalism. All very positive things that sounded to me, and I joined on that basis and became active in the party in the 80s.
Okay, so you obviously made a break from it at some point. So, what was it in the trajectory then that brought you to a point where you left republicanism?
Well, I was always very much of the left. You know, I was a socialist republican. That's the term, I suppose, that we'd have always used in those days. We wouldn't have seen ourselves, or I certainly didn't see myself as a nationalist. The party was evolving, obviously, rapidly in that period. It had a big surge in membership in the early 80s, and the Adams leadership were taking in a particular direction. People like me believed it was being taken in a socialist direction, and for a period that seemed to be the case. In the late 80s and the early 90s, though, it was quite obvious that there was being a shift to the right or to the centre. And with that, there was the beginnings, the early stages of the peace process. And
okay.
There were some quite notable events that occurred during that period. In the anti-extradition campaign, for example, where we'd always been pushing a very hard line in Cork and in other areas, an anti-Fianna Fáil line, we were kind of urged to soften that. There were occasions when demonstrations, like after Desi Ellis was extradited from Dublin, there was a march planned for the city centre, and Adams came and cancelled that march to avoid a confrontation with state forces. There were little straws in the wind, if you like, and obviously during that entire period there had been negotiations going on that nobody knew about. And the first thing that really happened was that when the Hume Adams document or issue became public, there was a whole period where lots of stuff that people didn't realise was going on became public. And within the movement there was quite a strong and very wordy debate going on between various factions. But people in a hierarchical organisation, in a Leninist organisation, you tend to trust the leadership to a certain extent and you obey discipline. And that's why outside of it you very rarely saw that internal debate that was occurring. When it got to the point of the late 90s and the negotiations and that, and we were heading for an agreement, it was very clear to me and other people on the left in Sinn Féin that the agreement that was envisaged was going to fall quite short of anything that could be used as a platform to build towards a workers' republic, which we'd have seen as our objective. So we argued against the agreement within the party. A lot of people submitted to it and agreed to it, who later regretted it or whatever. But in any case, it came to a head at the 98 Ardèche for me. And when the party decided to back the agreement, I felt that my place within the struggle was no longer within Sinn Féin. I felt it was no longer fighting really for what I was interested in. I'd made the arguments, I'd fought my corner. Sinn Féin and Cork actually was one of the only areas in the country that voted en bloc against the agreement. So about 2 weeks after the Ardèche, I resigned from the party and became an independent left activist.
Okay, so Cork would have been traditionally a stronghold of republicanism, especially like more kind of socialist forms of republicanism, or if we're going to believe the wind that shakes the barley anyway. So what is the current state of the republican movement down there?
Sinn Féin and Cork in 86, which was the first split, if you like, with the RSF over abstentionism, took a very left-wing direction. Most of the party membership left actually that time in Cork, and what was left were a very left-wing kind of group, and it defined the party very much as a socialist republican. By the late 90s, up to 98, we had a quite independent line, and we had a more or less free hand, and we came into conflict with the party leadership on a number of issues. But the after the Good Friday Agreement, after that, the party, in my opinion, declined quite rapidly in terms of its politics in Cork. It became much more prone to listening to what was being said from the centre, very reluctant to take any sort of initiative of its own. And I think it started to follow the line, and gradually it started shedding all those activists who had come in on a very left-wing basis over the years. And my own opinion, the state of the party now in general is quite centrist, populist. It has a lot of rhetoric. I think it's very hollow. It rings very hollow on a lot of issues. I think that's very visible to people. That being said, there's still quite a layer of people within Sinn Féin who have quite radical.
So at the moment we see a situation where Sinn Féin are, provisional Sinn Féin, are obviously going to join the PSNI and the Gardaí and whatever, and, you know, further their kind of centrist line. What do you make of this?
Well, I mean, it's where they're heading for. I mean, by the late 90s it was quite clear to me that they were simply had been co-opted into the system, and are quite anxious to get into government, north and south, quite anxious to become part of the parcel of the system that we live under. And that has absolutely no fucking attraction whatsoever to me. I certainly don't think it is an attraction for anyone of any left wing politics. It's just a logical flowing out of the direction they've been on for a while. It's very disappointing, though, it has to be said, because this was a very big movement, a very successful movement, in the sense that a whole section of the working class in the north had rebelled against the state, had rejected the forces of the state, rejected the state institutions, and had the potential, in my opinion, to create something very different. Now, the politics was the thing that was inhibiting it, obviously, but I mean, it's still, when something that had such radical potential, that's created such a great hope for a lot of people, you know, finally comes to its logical conclusion and is co-opted, it is a very disappointing, very sad thing. Somewhat inevitable, this thing. But what's happened as well as a consequence of making this kind of final move, if you like, is that it's forced people within that movement to take the final straw for a lot of them, and people have started leaving or looking at alternative things. And hopefully out of that maybe something will grow, where people who from the socialist republican perspective will come to play a more positive and progressive role in the developing social movements in the country.
Okay, so you said there's a lot of people leaving the republican movement, or leaving Sinn Féin, and obviously there's a lot of people out there who want to make a change and thought they could do that through Sinn Féin. So what do you see as the future for these people? Are still republicans, I guess, but what do you see as the future for these republicans without a party now?
Well, what happened to me when I left Sinn Féin was I had to do an awful lot of evaluating of my own politics. I mean, I was still a socialist republican at that point, and the first thing I had to do was really question how I ended up and our movement that ended up in this situation. And the conclusions that I came to, which drew me to anarchism, was that the authoritarianism and the hierarchical nature of the party hadn't allowed a democratic debate within the movement, and consequently it was able to be led by a small number in a particular direction. And the level of discipline within the party had also facilitated that. And I think the Republicans coming out of it, if they learn the lessons of involvement, and the Socialist Republicans learn the lessons of being involved in a movement of that nature, and apply those lessons to the organisations that they'll create and the activism that they'll get involved in, that'll be quite a positive thing. I think some people are doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past, and we can see that quite clearly in some of the organisations that have emerged in terms of Republican Sinn Féin and the 32 County Sovereignty Committee and the likes of that. But we're also seeing more positive things, Airgy more recently, but also there's been a pool of activists around the Republican Writers Group and around various projects and ideas in the country, and really they are homeless in a sense, but a lot of them have remained active and are remained engaged with ideas. Out of that, I hope a goodly proportion remain politically active, because I think they have a lot of experience and knowledge to add to the broader social movements. And, you know, a number of them are going to come to anarchism, I have no doubt about that, when they realise that part of the flaw in republicanism is that structure, and that anarchism provides a democratic alternative to that.
Okay, so do you think that republicanism, or when you were a republican, did you think that it had anything to offer the Protestant working class, like at all? Did you just alienate them?
Yeah, this was one of the big debates within republicanism. Was it possible to win Protestant workers to the cause of United Ireland? For me, it was always a case of United Ireland offered them really nothing, whereas the socialist Ireland would offer them something, and that's why it was not so necessary to build a class struggle kind of approach to politics. The problem, of course, is that republicanism was such a broad church, and Sinn Féin was such a broad church, that you'd competing ideas around that, and you had a strong nationalist wing, quite honest, which was completely and utterly alienating the Protestants. And I think there were elements of sectarianism always around the periphery as well, a kind of Catholic nationalist kind of perspective. And the unfortunate thing is that that's become quite a strong strand now within Republicanism nowadays. The bottom line is, I thought it did, but really it didn't. Let's be honest about it. It had no attraction. There were a handful of Protestant activists within the Republican movement, but by and large, Protestant working class were completely alienated from that project because they perceived it as a purely nationalist project. It wasn't purely nationalist, but you know, it didn't do a good enough job, obviously, of selling a socialist project. And the reason it didn't was because a lot of people involved in that movement weren't socialists, quite honest.
Okay, a lot of Republican groups, in fact, every Republican group has had an armed wing. What do you think of the kind of, I don't know, it's a terrible question, actually. But what do you think of armed struggle republicanism? Could it ever actually lead to a 32-county socialist republic?
No, I don't think so. I think that an armed victory over the British state was impossible. I think it could only have been done in conjunction with a social revolution, and really a social revolution is what it will take to defeat imperialism and capitalism in this country. That's not going to come out of republicanism. There are probably elements within republicanism who can be part of that, but currently no, that's not going to happen. In terms of armed struggle, I'm not a pacifist, and I believe a resort to arms is a right of us as a class, but it's not something that should be taken lightly. It's a big step to take, and the pitfalls are huge. So in the absence of any sort of mass movement for socialism, for social revolution here, I think the idea of armed actions would be a little bit crazy, quite honestly. Yeah.
So do you think republicanism has always had strong ties, or some forms of republicanism has strong ties to kind of nationalist sentiment and Catholicism? And we see Jeremy Gough, that's how you pronounce it? Jeremy yeah. Gough has released this publication called The Hibernian, which is quite far right, Catholic values return to, you know, land and blood and soil, which is quite a scary emergence. And with the amount of immigration coming into Ireland now, do you think that the Republican movement could be twisted into any sort of anti-immigrant far right movement?
He's not the first attempt to do this, you know. I mean, Owen O'Duffy was part of the Republican movement at one stage, so it's not unusual to have a strand of thought like that within republicanism. I think they're quite marginal, and I think that historically republicanism here over the last number of years has had quite a left-wing image, and I think that has affected the politics of it to a good extent, and there's one of the positive things you could say about it. These people are really fucking bad news. Quite honestly, they're really bad news, but I think by wedding themselves to kind of fundamentalist Catholicism, they're committing a suicide in a sense, because traditional Catholicism is a dying thing in this country. It's a very marginal thing, and I don't think there's the basis to build a large movement on that. Anti-immigrant sentiment probably has more potential, but by wedding themselves to that fundamentalist Catholic stuff, they're really alienating a whole section of society. Can you imagine going to young working class men and women in this city and arguing, you know, for contraception and you know, I mean, it's just fucking loopy stuff. You know, it has no attraction on that level. That doesn't mean that they're not capable of doing harm, but I think they are a marginal force. They'll probably grow a bit over time because there is a small constituency for it, but long term, I don't see any real prospects for them here.
And do you think that there could be a reemergence of a new Republican movement from the ashes of what Sinn Féin are doing now, where they're kind of selling everyone out?
Yeah, I think that Irish history, you know, it's a hoary old chestnut, but Irish history demonstrated that there's always been a very strong Republican constituency here, and the decline of one Republican movement has always kind of, after a period of time, given rise to something else. I think the politics are a big attraction for people. I mean, for the historical resonances, for one reason, but also because when conflict arises in the north, you know, there are people with a ready strategy and a ready set of ideas that gel very quickly with a kind of defenderist attitude there. The challenge for people on the left and for anarchists is to ensure that the more progressive, positive ideas gain dominance. So that if struggle does emerge at any point in this country and in the north again, that the ideas that dominated are progressive and democratic ones and anti-sectarian ones, so that we don't end up going back down the same old cul-de-sac that we've spent the last 30 years in.